Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I'm joined in studio by Lenya Heitzig. Hi,
hey,
Lenya, how are you?
I'm here.
Lenya, you have a bunch of jobs at Calvary Church, so we got to tell people, of course, you head up the women's ministry, Sheology.
That's right.
But you also have a really special missions purpose, and that's called Reload Love.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing ministry. For those who are not familiar with it, please give us a brief story about Reload Love and how it came into being.
It happened in a shower, which is such a strange answer. Honestly, it was during the time that ISIS was growing and fomenting in the Middle East, and they were just wreaking havoc all over that country. And I remember they had gone through the Sinjar region, and they were killing so many of the people from Sinjar, the Yazidi people, and they had so ran through there that they forced, who they didn't kill, which they killed a lot, and who they didn't sell into slavery or rape, the old and the infirmed, were told to go up the mountain of Mount Sinjar, like Albuquerque has the Sandia. Mm. And it was a humanitarian crisis. There were tens of thousands of people on top of that mountain in the summer in the heat, and no food, no water. And I was just watching, and I thought, gosh, if those were my people, if those were, what would I want? I'd want someone to help. And so I think watching the news, that was ruminating in my head. And I don't know why. I just thought, what if you could take spent bullet casings? You know, nobody's using them anymore. It's upcycling, right? Mm-hmm. Recycling or mm-hmm. something. And you turn them into beautiful brass jewelry. You could help babies. So I guess it was bullets, brass, jewelry, babies. And it all went through my head. And I got out of the shower, and I immediately went to my computer and started Googling, how do you find spent bullet casings? Come to find out, they're everywhere. Very few people reload. Very few. And so it's a thing. So I thought, oh, wow, I can get those relatively easily. You wouldn't mm-hmm. think you could. And then my next few calls were to some jewelry stores, because New Mexico is known for sterling jewelry, right? So we have a lot of manufacturers. So I started calling them to see if they could use brass instead of sterling. And one thing just kept leading to the other. Before you know it, I had bullets, I had jewelry. And I don't know your next question, but then it was like, where do I find these kids caught in the crossfire of terrorism?
So you sell the jewelry, because yes. I've bought necklaces and things sure. for my kids. I have yeah. three daughters, and I mean, they really like it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's also symbolic.
Yes.
You know, something that would, you know, take a life. And again, I'm not a person that's anti-gun or anything, but, you know, guns are, the problem is not the guns. The problem is the people that have the guns.
It's always the heart of man, isn't it?
It is the heart of man.
It is our
heart. Absolutely.
And you can have whatever it is in your hand. You can have a club if you're a caveman, and you could have whatever, a stone, a rock. David, you know, he flung a rock. But you're right. This bullet, it wasn't lost on me that we live in a polarized world, and it's become even more polarized, right? Whether you're pro or anti-gun, whether you're pro or anti-war, you're a hawk or you're a dove, whatever it is. And at that time, we were having a hard time defining terrorists. You know, several things were happening in our nation, and they wouldn't call these people terrorists. And I was like, whether or not you think they're a terrorist, I think we could all agree that bullets and babies don't mix.
Amen.
Could we just get to this irreducible minimum? And if we took the symbolism of something that was meant for harm and using it for good, that was beautiful symbolically. And then also the process that these bullets have to go through is to go through a crucible. So they are being redeemed, if you will. Mm. We're redeeming something. And that theme runs so strong within Christianity. So it's the redemption of this thing for harm to good, but also the redemption of these kids that have just been forgotten, and a second chance for them, maybe.
Lenya, you and Skip have been married a long time. You've been in ministry together.
It'll be 40 years this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you've been public figures in addition to people sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are people that go, oh, Skip and Lenya, they must be on their prayer knees, and that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And I just have to smile and say, You just described the Holy Spirit talking to you in the shower.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, some of us think that, yeah, it should be on our knees, or I was outside, or I'd been fasting and praying for days, and that wasn't the case. You know what? I think that we should be seeking God wherever we are, and I have learned it's very holy to ask God questions. And so I think you all can do that in every area of your life. And my question was, who's going to help those kids? How are we going to combat terrorism? What would God want to do? God, how can you use me? You know, those questions keep flowing. And then I'm like, okay, I will knock on doors until doors either open or close, and I will just follow what happens. And so I believe God moves very supernaturally, naturally. If he puts a burden on your heart, then do something about it. And you might turn that, or God might turn that into a ministry. And we joke. Look, I am really, and Jim, you've known me for years, I am so much more of a Malibu Barbie than a G.I. Jane. There is nothing G.I. Jane about me. I did not start this so that I could run through the jungles. You know, I was not looking for a fight. I was looking for relief. But as a result of that, I have been to Iraq and to Jordan and to Saudi Arabia and to so many of these countries. And I was in Iraq several times when ISIS was still, you know, pretty powerful. And I've been in Burma, in Myanmar. And bombs are going off, you know, not 10 clicks away. So it's not that this is a lifestyle I chose for me, but I just chose to say, Lord, how can we help kids caught in the crossfire of terrorism? And I just pictured me sending aid, not me going to be any part of that solution. But the Lord had other things in mind. So I would say to the listeners, it's okay to ask, what can I do, Lord?
This might be the toughest question I have for you this afternoon. How have you seen children affected by terrorism?
Well, it's heartbreaking. Years ago, Skip and I traveled with Franklin Graham, and probably that's partly where I get this. And it was right in Rwanda, right after the Hutus and Tutsis. And that was horrific. I mean, it was a genocide. And so much of what's happening today is continued genocide. So, but it was genocide of these people. And there were unmarked graves everywhere. There were piles of bodies. They would say, don't go behind such and such building. There's bodies there. This bridge we shoved women off of and they landed in the river. The home we stayed in was the Canadian consulate. And they said there was blood in this room. They killed people in that room. It was a horrifying place to be. And when you saw the children, they were so traumatized. I mean, kids can find a way to have fun, but as we were walking through the orphanage, because so many of these kids had no family at all, that I soon had one on each hip, one in each arm, and then I could barely walk because they were clinging to your legs. They were that desperate for love, protection, help, sympathy. A lot of them bedwetters, a lot of them nightmares. And so I think the cost to these kids is horrific, but I have learned, with Reload Love that if you can restore normalcy as quickly as possible to these kids, you have a better hope of them recovering from trauma. And really that's true of any trauma. If you have a relative that was raped by a family member, if you have kids who have been in gangs and seen things they shouldn't see, or you have these kids who have been impacted by terrorists overseas, to restore normalcy as quickly as possible is one of your best friends. So normalcy for us is you need to create a place that's safe and calm. So we work with partners all over the world. We have 46 playgrounds now where you're trying to create an environment that's normal, whether it's school or a soccer field or a playground, something where they feel safe. So it's a calm place. And then you want to acknowledge them. You know, kids pick up wrong messages. You know, I'm an adult child of divorced parents, and for a long time I thought it was my fault, right? That's a childish belief that somehow you impacted that. And these kids think I'm bad kids, right? I'm a Yazidi. I'm a bad person. People hate Yazidis. And so you want to acknowledge it's not your fault. It didn't happen to you. Give them a place where they can work that confusion out loud. And then that N is normalcy. So give them some crayons, give them a soccer ball, give them something that it's what their bodies have done before, what they have done before. And so if you do that CAN, C-A-N, a calm place, acknowledgement, and normalcy, you have a better chance of getting into their psyche and rebuilding them.
None of the things that you're doing, they're all free to the people that have been hurt.
Yes.
But travel and supporting the people that carry on the ministry and do all the work, that costs a lot of money. You have a love bomb coming up.
Yes.
Tell us about the love bomb.
So the love bomb is a virtual event. And I stole it from Ron Paul. He had a money bomb when he was running for president, where virtually you could just come on and they set this crazy goal. That's part of this genre. Set a crazy goal, open it up that virtually for whatever period of time, 24, 36 hours, people can give. And then the bomb is, you know, you break the ceiling of this crazy goal. So when we were first starting as Reload Love, we didn't have a lot of donors. So we thought, well, maybe we can do these virtual donors. And I think we set a goal like $40,000, which to us seemed insane. It was just like crazy. And that first Valentine weekend, we raised over $120,000. So it kept bursting above the virtual goal of what we had set. And so that was really the idea, that you could just join us and help us, you know, reach something that 100% of the funds, they're completely earmarked during Love Bomb. They go to the field. They don't pay for any administration. They don't pay for any merchandise. They don't pay. They go 100% to the field.
I have to share something, and we're going to come back to Love Bomb. We're going to talk about that two or three times in the time we're together today, but that's what you have to do on radio.
Yeah.
You have to tell them three times, right?
I think I have to tell my kids and grandkids things three times, so yeah. It's a formula.
I think your husband taught me a long time ago, you have to tell them what you're going to tell them, then you have to tell them, and then you have to tell them what you told them.
Remind them what you told them, yeah.
I think that's funny. But I do want to share a story. I was raised in a very formal Christian religious tradition. Came to Calvary Church 40 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Back when we were up at by the Breaking Bad car wash,
yeah,
I call it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it was funny because in the tradition I was raised in, you would walk into church and you would have to whisper.
It's like a library.
And it was very formal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm not criticizing that. I mean, I know people there are trying to honor God and mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. But here was my experience at Calvary Church. I walk in, and I'm there a little bit early, and I hear Skip going, "Hey, turn up the guitars. I want to jam a little bit." And he's just rocking out on this guitar, and he's having fun with the worship team, and they're laughing. And I'm just sitting there enjoying. This is church.
Yeah.
And then after I got to know Skip a little bit, I went on a couple of mountain bike rides.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know, Christianity at Calvary Church with the Heitzigs is a lot of fun.
It is fun.
And you've taken fun into zones of terrorism.
Well, as you were saying that, I wanted to cry because, you know, you have this vision and you're asking God, now, how do I connect the finances I've raised with kids? I mean, I don't know people in Iraq and in Myanmar and Nigeria. So it's a cold ask that you're saying, God, who? And so God provided that Skip and one of my good friends, Murray Byrne, got to go to Iraq with several NGOs, non-government organizations. These are people who are running to the bullets, running to the orphans, and they're going, what do they need and where do we get it and how do we supply it? And so we sent Skip on one of these teams, and this is when the Yazidis were everywhere, millions of them. It was horrific, these very traumatized kids. And there's pictures of Skip and Murray with a guitar singing and laughing with the kids. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, how you felt coming in and seeing Skip singing, and it endeared you and it calmed your heart, whatever it did. Same thing with kids. If you can go in there, imagine. And they were living in squalor. It was freezing. It was plastic tents, mud floors, and Skip and Murray just singing and laughing with the kids. Well, then they could come home and say, look, we need to get buildings there. We need a playground. We need this. We need that. So a lot of the trips that I go on or Skip has gone on are reconnaissance, if you will. we go to see the problem and, of course, are overwhelmed by the problem. And then we come home and say, okay, what can we do? And we're looking for reliable contacts on the other side. Someone that when I ship the money to build a playground, they're going to build a playground. You know, and with Reload Love, it's even more complicated that when you have tribal people, which I think a lot of tribalism is the problem in the world today. I think we're getting more and more tribalism in the United States, whether you're blue or red or your ethnicity or what socioeconomic level. If we start dividing ourselves into these tribal groups, it will be impossible to run this country. And tribalism is the problem that you meet overseas in these cultures. So when I go to an IDP camp, you can have people of different tribes. And it's like the Old Testament. Benjamin was the small tribe, you know. Judah was other tribes. And so if I go to the low totem pole, you know, chief and say, can I build a playground? And we didn't ask the other tribal people, you're going to have a war on an IDP camp because you didn't negotiate properly how you're integrating into them. So you need to bring together this community, and you'll find that people who will argue about a rock will agree to build a playground for their kids because they know it's going to help their kids. So these factious tribes will come together and say, great, we'll build it here, we'll do this. And then they'll make sure they protect it because these are their kids. You know, I had a friend, and I'm sure you probably have interviewed him, Nick McKinley, who was a CIA agent. You know, he said when he was in Pakistan that you had a lot of IEDs or suicide bombs that would come against the encampment there. So they started lobbing soccer balls over the wall, and they would land in the streets, and kids would be playing with them, and they wouldn't go get them immediately. And then they'd come over and they'd go, hey, have you seen our soccer ball? Well, there's kids playing with them. And so now the moms are like, the kids are playing in this street. Hey, dads, you better keep this street safe. This is where the kids play with the soccer ball. So it's so counterintuitive, but it's brilliant that, you know, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You lob a soccer ball, and now a street where you had suicide bombers, the moms and dads are like, no, not on our street, not on my watch. And so a lot of what we do is counterintuitive. It's almost like David feigning insanity. And I think in a lot of communities we come into, they're like, who are the crazy Westerners who have come here and they put a playground there? I mean, of all the things, but you know, things become commodities. Like, if you read the Three Cups of Tea and they were building buildings in Pakistan and some of these countries, well, the ISIS or the terrorists go, well, the building's of value. So now I can watch where the kids, the girls are going to school in Boko Haram. They can kidnap these kids. And now I have a building. So if you put something of value there, then it may be co-opted. When you put a playground, what are they going to do with that? I mean, it's so counterintuitive. So I know that some of this people are like, well, you could get them meals or whatever it is. Yes, you could. But if I can get a piece of ground in the Middle East that's a playground, then you know what happens next? Mothers come. Because their kids are playing, the moms are like, whew, I can come out of the house and I can watch my kids play. What happens? Dad comes home from work. Now it's a community center. And at night they're eating pizza or barbecuing food. And now maybe we can have a conversation with each other. So you're looking for a piece of a prime property where you can build peace and you can build community and you can build something on, and also a place to preach the gospel. Of course, we look for Christian partners wherever we go, but that doesn't mean that we won't build it on property where Muslims are or Buddhists are, because it's our opportunity to go fishing, and our fishing lure just happens to be a playground.
Stay with us. More with Lenya Heitzik updating us on this week's Love Bomb fundraiser for Reload Love. Right after this on ABQ Connect.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the extinction of dinosaurs caused by an asteroid hitting the Earth?
Chris, this is a favorite evolutionary claim that some 65 million years ago, an asteroid smashed into the Earth and sent the dinosaurs into extinction. But did you know that a lot of evolutionists deny this? Some are now saying that the dinosaurs were already going into extinction before the asteroid hit. You see, it's really difficult to reconstruct unobserved history. But the Bible gives us the key. The Bible tells us that God created all the animals, including the dinosaurs, during creation week. Most of them were wiped out in the great flood of Noah's day, and the fossils are primarily those animals that died in the flood. Two of each kind survived on board Noah's ark, but many of them, of course, have gone extinct since then. You see, Chris, everything fits into the back to Genesis view of history.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
When King David tried covering his sins, he thought life could continue as normal. But he soon found that living in disobedience had the opposite effect. He shares his story in Psalm 32 and helps us discover the missing piece. Listen all this week to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Weekdays at 5 p.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for a mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Lenya Heitzig about this week's Love Bomb fundraiser for Reload Love. Lenya, tell us some of the projects you've accomplished with Reload Love.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's so diverse. In Jordan, we've built quite a few playgrounds. There was a pastor there, Pastor Yosef, and he's just 5 clicks from the Syrian border. And we were able to visit his church, and there were women with their faces covered, you know, hijabs and scarves. And they somehow got these women who had traveled out of Syria. If you recall back then, 2 million children were displaced from Syria. That's a whole generation lost. No doctors, no nurses, no whatever that is coming up, they're gone. And they were eating grass. And so they're having to walk their way 5 clicks out of Syria to get to a safe place in Jordan. But even when we went to this town, Mafraq, we were told Big Brother's watching. Trust me, there's people on the street. There are people watching there. And so we were very cautious. Our bus pulled up and they had to open these gates, shut the gates behind us, get inside this church property to meet these people. And right when we get inside, there's pounding on the door, poundings on the door. You know, you feel like you're in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to say, who are those people that came in here and give them to me? And we got to go upstairs, and they had said they were having a health clinic because they had nurses there. And these women were allowed to come because it's a health clinic. You have to realize a lot of places I work are strictly gender-separated societies. Mm-hmm. Women are nothing. And women or nothing or are completely controlled by men. And if the husband or the father are gone, that youngest, that oldest son gets to tell the mom what. You know what I mean? It's just a society that's so different. So these women are there and they're all covered up. And it's a little bit awkward, and you're like, okay.
Better make sure Nathan doesn't get any strange ideas.
Yes.
From this.
Oh, my gosh, my life would be different. But anyway, so I just tell them, we're from the United States. We want you to know that we love you. We know this is happening. We want to be able to help. We want to let you know about Jesus. What can we do? Tell me what to tell the people at home. Well, before you know it, the scarves start coming off. And they have brought baked bread, this Syrian Iraqi bread, which is phenomenal. It's kind of like our tortilla, right? And they're bringing it out with hummus and all kinds of stuff. And now we're eating and laughing. And they start telling the stories. This one Syrian woman said, I had 2 kids that were trying to cross the street, and one of my sons was shot. And the little brother was left holding hands of the one that was shot. And since then, he had had a tick, you know, an odd head tick. And he didn't talk. But he got to this church, and we built a playground. And while he was doing crayon and playing, his words started coming back. It's that idea of normalcy. And so working with these women, realizing they can't even get out of the house if there's not a playground. Hey, I'm going to take the kids to the playground. And you know, Nick McKinley had said to me, if you want to change the Middle East, change the women. And that is so very true. So if I, as a woman, want to minister to the women of the Middle East, I need to care for the kids, because then I have an opportunity with the moms. So that's just one thing. We've built several playgrounds in Jordan and have since gone back. And then we visit tent to tent with this church to ask them what they need. It could be a heater. It could be shoes. It could be blankets. It could be a layette set for pregnant women. So we're just looking for ways to get in the tent, or to bring the women to the playground with the kids. So that's in Jordan. I mean, I could go on, but I think that's a good snapshot.
This month, the month of February, Reload Love is the great mission of KNKT Radio. And we're going to tell people about you. We're going to use snippets from our interview to play on the air. And we want people to understand that they can go to your website.
ReloadLove.com.
ReloadLove.com, and they can make donations right now. The Love Bomb is coming up 13th?
Yes, the weekend of Valentine's, right?
Weekend of Valentine's Day. And there's going to be, it's a virtual event, and there's going to be some really cool things. A lot of the proceeds and your focus of the Love Bomb this year is going to be for Nigeria.
Yes.
Tell us about what's going on in Nigeria.
This is another God thing. Look, I didn't know how I was going to get to Jordan and who I would meet there. I didn't know how we were going to get to Iraq and the doors that God opened. And when we started Reload Love, we made this wish list. Wouldn't it be great if someday we could be in Jordan? We could be in Iraq. Our first on the wish list was Burma, Myanmar, and to get into there, we had to, oh my gosh, cross a river, hike for days, and get into the middle of no phones, no lights, no motor cars, not a single luxury. I mean, it was camping on steroids. But one of the things we had on the list was Nigeria. And honestly, when you put this on your wish list, it's like, you know, a Christmas. I'm asking God to send me in the jungles of one of the scariest countries with Boko Haram, who is running roughshod. Boko Haram is an offshoot of ISIS. So we say ISIS is gone, right? Mm. No, it's not. It just happens to be in Nigeria now or somewhere else. So I'm asking God to go there. And these guys are setting up IEDs, you know, these bombs. They're suicide. Some of the suicide bombers in Nigeria are as young as 7 year old. And they get females to be suicide bombers. So you're worried about your kids maybe getting on the internet or going to the playground or having gluten in their foods, whatever it is. These kids are being radicalized or just kidnapped and used. And so to infiltrate a community, Boko Haram has to put people in the community that look like they're one of the community until they decide not to. So Boko Haram is the terrorist organization that we're confronting, and we've asked God give us open doors in Nigeria. And so the amazing thing is there is an organization, a ministry that's been there for decades, and it's called the Holy Ghost organization, which is super, super cool. And they have these Holy Ghosts. They do soccer, and they actually have really great soccer.
Clinics.
Yeah, I'm
going
to start
that.
Over.
Okay.
Because it's they have very professional pro level soccer players in these organizations, and they would be known throughout the country because they're like, you know. Beckett, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're known there for that, but they're offering a soccer class for kids.
I only remember the movie Bend It Like Beckham.
Beckham, that's it. Bend It Like Beckham. Oh, man, people are going to know how lame I am. But it's okay. So they have these pro-level soccer coaches who will come offer at their fields, and these kids are Muslim. But to come, there's certain rules. They have to go to school, and they have to attend a discipleship program. And so here you have, and what they've asked us to do is if we could help take one of their fields and turn it into another soccer field. So we're pretty excited about that. And along with that, they have tournaments and all kinds of things, and they disciple them. We have the opportunity to change some of these sanctuaries into story clubs so that kids will have trained volunteers who can do translation for them. And so we need desks for that. We need supplies for that. We need stipends for the teachers who will be teaching them, and also to build some playgrounds in Nigeria. So as we've done in other places, we kind of focus on school opportunities, sports opportunities, playgrounds, and those kind of things.
So again, Valentine's weekend, The Love Bomb is happening virtually, and you can go to reloadlove.com. You can give at any time. Right now.
I mean, and we're anytime you can go to reloadlove.com and give money. But we're setting our goal this year. I think we set it at $140,000 to be able to cover all the projects that we have. If we want to do everything on our wish list in Nigeria, it will take $140,000. Last year, we broke it. I think our goal last year was between $140,000 and $150,000, and we raised like $230,000. And that money isn't like, woohoo, we have extra money. Now we say, what else can we do? And so this organization, the two or three organizations we're working with in Nigeria, there are 2.7 internally displaced people in Nigeria because of Boko Haram. Just think about that. If the entire city of Albuquerque was vacated because Boko Haram came in and took over and we had to go live in the West Mesa, or we went somewhere else to Berlin or whatever, Bernalillo, and said, help, our city's empty. 2.7 people are displaced in their own country, which means they live in IDP camps. And a million of their people have had to flee to other countries. So one of the other things we have the opportunity, should God give exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or hope, is some of these kids are in Cameroon and Chad and Niger. And so we have opportunities to work outside the country of Nigeria. And of all of these refugees, 2.7 internally, a million externally, a million of those are kids.
Well, and we're talking about some athletics, but it's not just athletics.
No.
There's all kinds of activities. And you also provide some medical care and other
yes.
services.
We often provide meals. You know, it's hard to teach a kid if they're hungry. And so absolutely part of this would be supplemental meals and desks and taking care of the teachers. You know, helping that when you have lost your job in Jordan, I met doctors, you know, really great doctors who are now refugees. They've lost everything. Or businessmen, and they're now living in tents in dirt fields. I mean, pretty much go to the West Mesa. What are you going to do? Rake rocks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you going to do? Okay. And now they're refugees, so they're like immigrants, right? They can't go out the refugee camp and work. They can't go be housekeepers or gardeners. They have to figure out within their own IDP camp how they're going to create an economy and make money. And so I think that some people will think, well, you know, why don't you help kids in the United States? There's kids, Feed New Mexico kids. You have no idea. There is no backup in an IDP camp. There's no Social Security. There's no Medicare. There's no Medicaid. There's no children's programs. There's nothing. Unless NGOs, non-government organizations, like Reload Love and people we work with, go and take the food, the playground, the schools, whatever it is, the water that they need, they have nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we often work with other NGOs in tandem because you bring the well, we'll bring the playground, you get the food, you get. So we work in tandem. And if we find out somebody else that we're working with needs food for the kids, of course, we're going to help support the food or the medical or whatever it is.
Lenya, do you have a young person that you've worked with that you can share their story with us?
A young person overseas?
Yeah, that's kind of been part of Reload Love and.
Yes, we do. I'm going to tell you one story of Shocker is his name. And I think he picked that name. I don't think that's his given name. And he was in Iraq and we needed someone who could drive us, because ISIS was still there and Iraq was just a series of, borders or checkpoints. And so if you're going to go, I mean, just checkpoint after checkpoint. And at that time, before we went to Iraq, we were given lessons on how to identify IEDs, where not to go, where to go, what to look out for. I mean, that's terrifying. How to do a tourniquet. What do you do? Blah, 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 blah. Don't put your car in reverse and all this stuff. And so they designated this guy named Shocker, and he was part of their special forces. So he would be the equivalent to our special forces, right? And this guy was phenomenal. And we were driving 100 miles an hour on the shoulders of roads with Shocker to get from place to place. And he would get us through these checkpoints and to where we needed to go. But life wasn't easy for him. You know what I mean? He's seen an awful lot. And an awful lot of the people he knew have died. And even his wife fell down the stairs carrying their newborn and broke her wrist, and the bone in her wrist pierced the child's head and he lost his child. So, I mean, the people that you work with, sometimes I guess it's like post-traumatic stress, which I had cancer. I remember what post-traumatic stress was for me for that. But I don't have post-traumatic stress of bombs going off in my neighborhood, of seeing people blown to pieces, of, you know, having ISIS come in and rape and chase people away. I was in homes with Shocker where it wasn't enough just to steal whatever was in the home. They would leave horrible things, graffiti on the walls, like, you know, that Allah, you know, we will come and we will get you and there's no recovery. And they would leave IEDs in refrigerators or ovens or just horrible things. So the psychological warfare, even if they removed ISIS from a city that we visited, when you got home was this warm welcome of graffiti or IEDs or things that needed to be cleared. And it wasn't enough just to take their stuff. They would take hammers and ruin the molding around a door, punch holes in the ceiling, just so you know, hi, you know, I was here. And so Shocker had to live through things like that. And he took us through one of the ISIS tunnels, because part of the psychological warfare of ISIS is that they would create these tunnels through the fields that would pop up into a city like Karakush, where Shocker took us. And so the tunnels were like reconnaissance that ISIS people could come up into the city streets of Karakush, and then they could walk the streets. Well, this is great reconnaissance. Who lives where? What are we going to do? They could do this at night. Maybe they started to become familiar and they would just show up in the city and people would see them. And, you know, who are these people? So Shocker took us into one of these tunnels and he'd say, don't turn left. We haven't cleared that. Don't do that. Don't do this. We can't go there. And walking these ISIS tunnels with a guy named Shocker, that the reason he needs to do this is he wants to get people back into the city. Karakush is a city of about 60,000 people. And when I was there, it was utterly abandoned. And Karakush was a Christian city. So you see crosses on people's houses that had mortar rounds through it or were knocked down, or the church bell landing akimbo, or statues, religious statues that have just been beheaded. And those kind of things. So when you're traveling with these guys, it's humbling and amazing that they're as brave as they are, but you also have a cognizance of what post-traumatic stress they're in when you're working with these partners.
With Shocker,
mm-hmm.
and he's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have seen people's joy restored after enduring all this.
Yeah, when we put up one of the playgrounds in Karakush. So the first time we went to Karakush, it was completely abandoned, right? And they had just liberated the city. And we got to go into some of the churches. The churches are soot, black, because they burn things inside, because the churches are stone, so you can't burn them down. But if you burn things inside, they turn black. And there were piles of like hymnals and Bibles in the courtyard that were burned. And you could see these pieces floating through the air, you know, a piece of a hymnal, a Bible. And they had taken mannequins and put them at the end of the church courtyard and used it for target practice. And it was so just defiling, just to defile the house of God in some of these ways. And so we saw this and our hearts broke. And we walked around the corner to this storage room, and there's a priest and two nuns digging through the rubble. And it's like 2 feet deep, 3 feet deep of rubble. And we just say, stop for a minute. Shocker's with us. And he's interpreting. And we're thinking, what are they looking for in that rubble? What on earth can they be doing? So he says, brother, brother, you know, we are here. We are here. We want to help. You know, he's doing in his broken language. And he goes, what are you looking for? You know, whatever it is. And the priest turns around and he's holding up a flannel graph, which is to teach kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pulling like Adam out, the flannel of Adam, and David or Daniel and the lion. They are looking for the pieces of a flannel graph to teach their children the gospel. And this priest, Roni, Father Roni, turns to us and he goes, we will teach our children to love. We will not be like them. We want to restore our children and teach our children to love. And we will be, and you're like, I got nothing.
Mm.
You know, this guy has just come through. So we did get Father Roni another flannel graph, actually maybe two or three, because he had different places. And so this city, what we saw Father Roni with Shocker, we were like, Lord, wouldn't it be cool one day to put a playground there? So a few years later, we were going to get to build a playground in one of the main squares of Karakush. And it was very hard for people to come home. I told you their homes were defiled, just like the church was. So these were the early pioneers who would go home. And when you go into these homes, it's like Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. I mean, you're walking into post-apocalyptic cities. I just don't even know how to describe what it's like walking, and people are trying to return home. And so they know we're opening this playground. The kids have been looking at it. The moms are excited. They, you know, oh my gosh, my kids, there's a bright hope. The only new thing in Karakush was a Reload Love playground. Okay. So just so you get a grasp of that. And so we're there. We're going to have cookies and food. And, men in the Middle East dance. You know, we don't dance here. So some guy comes with this flute things like, and someone's with the drum, and these men come dancing in a line. And so when you say beauty from ashes, we are right in the middle of ashes, and here are men dancing, and they said, we don't remember the last time we danced. This is part of our celebration for weddings, you know, all kinds of things. And then they're singing and the kids playing and the mom smiling. Oh my word. Yes, they are transformation. They are beauty in the midst of ashes. And we can't wait to get to Nigeria and to be able to do the same thing where Boko Haram has hit ISIS in a different iteration. We've been to Iraq, but now God's allowing us to pivot to Nigeria. And to be able to see those same kind of things happen.
Stay with us. More with Lenya Heitzik updating us on this week's Love Bomb fundraiser for Reload Love. Right after this on ABQ Connect.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
At Creca Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheCrecaLawFirm.com. The CEO. RECCA lawfirm.com.
Early Christian education should glorify God by providing an orderly, nurturing, and stimulating atmosphere for students exploring the world around them. Calvary Preschool strives to do just that. Each child who attends grows mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually as they interact with a loving, caring group of adults and peers. Registration for the 2021-2022 school year opens on February 16th. Visit CalvaryChurchPreschool.com today for more information. That's CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
Hi, and we're back with today's Money Wise Minute with Rob West.
I believe a Christian should only consider bankruptcy as a last resort or if forced into it. But here's what you should know. For the individual, there are two types. Chapter 7 is for the discharge of debts, the traditional bankruptcy. You either pay for or give up your property with secured debts. You surrender any non-exempt property in order to pay off as much of your other debt as possible and are released from having to repay what's left. Chapter 13 bankruptcy allows you to restructure your debt so they're more manageable, or get rid of a part of your debt so that you can manage payments better. A judge decides what to allow. Either way, you should do your best to repay those debts later. God reminds us that the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives.
Dr. Tony Evans says, even if we have an appetite for spiritual things, other appetites can cancel it out. He'll talk about the problem of dueling diets today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you go to Sweet Georgia Brown's because you want some soul food, you go to Sweet Georgia Brown. You come to the end of the line and order a Diet Coke, hoping that somehow that will cancel out all the sugar and grease at Sweet Georgia Brown. You just feel better because you ordered a Diet Coke. after greens and fried chicken and fried ribs and mac and cheese and potato salad and sweet potato pie. But give me a Diet Coke. What a lot of folks think is having diet church on Sunday after having incorporated the other worldview all week long, somehow that diet worship will override and give you victory. He says, no, you're operating with a partition. And that partition cancels out the knowledge of God, making it incapable of your mind being able to take every thought captive to the obedience to Christ.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly Slate and Dave Slate and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and ABQ Connect. Call Holly and her team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly Slate and Dave Slate and Associates, doing business by the book. 342-8100 or reach Holly on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Lenya Heitzik about this week's Love Bomb fundraiser for Reload Love. Lenya, you mentioned Jordan, a country that you've done a lot of work in. Jordan's actually pretty cooperative with Americans.
The king is a very good king.
And they're allowing people to come into the country, and they're doing what they can do.
Yes.
And you're helping so many people on the borders that come into Jordan.
Mafraq is that border town, yes.
But Jordan is closed now because of COVID.
Yes.
And I know that we've spoken with Stephen Collins about the dig at Tell al-Hammam.
Yes.
And they can't go there. So.
Yes.
You've had to adjust Reload Love and your plans for this year. How are those been affected? Are you kind of making tentative plans?
Well, part of Reload Love is, look, I'm not trying to be the American Red Cross, and I'm not trying to be Samaritan's Purse. What we're trying to do is, for a very specific goal, we have a very pointed tip of our spear of where we're pointing of what we're doing. It's children impacted by terror. So I can't feed everyone. I can't clothe everyone. I can't do the medical stuff. I am trying to do this very small thing, but it becomes a big thing. So the key thing that you need as an organization like we are, this NGO, is good partners. And if I have a good partner on the ground, I can wire money to them and not go. As a matter of fact, it's a waste of our money for me to go on a lot of the trips. It's a waste of the money for me to send a team. Now, it's not a waste of money if a team member goes and they see what happens and they meet the people and it becomes a burden and they make a contact and maybe God calls them to be a missionary. Absolutely, that's an investment actually in the missionary's life. But as far as moving things forward for, you know, Father Roni in Qadarkush or Father Yosef in Jordan, all I have to do is wire him money. I've been working with him forever. If he tells me there's refugees and we need heaters, great, send the heaters. If he tells me we need food, great, send the food. So the only trips I go on anymore, Jim, is really reconnaissance. It's just for me to meet the people on the ground so that I can come back and say, I know them, I've seen them, I can show you pictures of the playground, I've met them, I can, you know, give them the rubber stamp of their quality. And so even during COVID, because we've developed such good partners in the places we work in the world, we can help them even if we don't go.
I want to appeal to our listeners, Lenya. You've obviously have a lot of emotion about this.
I do.
Because you've seen it firsthand. But I appreciate that because ReloadLove.com is a place that people can go and they can look at basically what you're doing and, mm-hmm. and how you're doing it. They could be regular monthly donors. That
yes.
would be really helpful.
Yes, we love those.
Or they can give a one-time gift, and they can participate in the Love Bomb event that's coming up mm-hmm. Valentine's weekend. Mm-hmm. But altogether, it comes down to what God's put on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love the opening story you shared where God spoke to you about this in the shower.
Yeah.
And people just need to be cognizant, listen to God, listen to what his leading is. And there's important ministries going on, like Reload Love, love for people to come along. I want you to, my last question is, Lenya, how has your life changed since you've seen all of this?
Unbelievably. And what I would say is it's changed me in utter humility for me. I'm a pastor's wife, and yes, we have a big mega church, but the humility of visiting people in nowhere places that are nobodies to you, and they're doing it in much more difficult conditions, that I honor them. I can't even believe the Father Ronis who stay. You know, he could have left Katakush. He didn't have to stay. He stayed. And so when you meet these people, they are not worthy of this world. Isn't that in Hebrews where it says, of whom the world isn't even worthy, when he gives these list of people? I want you to know, Americans, and I put myself right there, I'm a spoiled little diva sometimes, but I have been in other places of the world that there are nameless people, and it encourages my faith. I know God is working all over the world. And I've been a prayer warrior for years. And then I go to these places, and you think, God could never do that. And you're like, there they are. I know that God is active and he's working. And so it emboldens me to pray. It humbles me. But it also strengthens me that God is faithful through every generation. That he has been sending missionaries all over the world and has raised up things. Look, when we were in Burma, the very first American missionary, Adoniram Judson, very first missionary to leave our shores, ended up in Burma. And I could tell you, that guy who went and translated the Bible into the language for the Burmese people and made his way into the Karen tribe, I have been to the Karen tribes in the middle of the jungle where I had to hike for days and have a lot of help to get there. I got to see the work of Adoniram Judson still alive today. Oh, come on. That doesn't build your faith that you know God is taking care of his people no matter where they are. And so then I'm just like, oh, Lord, my mind's blown. You know, I wasn't an Adoniram Judson. I came in and, you know, we had sleeping bags. And we had things that could turn water so it was safe. And, you know, there were a lot more amenities. We, one of the people with us, they had solar energy so that we could be able to make some sat phone calls home. I mean, Adoniram Judson, he didn't have any of that. And so I would just say, no matter who you are, God's got something for you to do. And you don't have to have a big name. You don't have to be Lenya Heitzig. You don't have to be, you just be faithful. You know, and if you're supposed to make peanut butter and jelly for the kids in your neighborhood because they're underfed, then be the peanut butter and jelly lady who shares the gospel. Because there's people all over the world who are willing to do these things. And also that idea of bringing the stranger in. You know, God talks about that a lot, about bringing in the stranger. And, in some of these villages in Iraq, it's the Christian villages that were being ransacked, okay? Just so you know, it's Islam against Christianity. It's the same thing in Boko Haram. They are persecuting Christians. Let me tell that to this audience again. Christians are being persecuted all over the world, and we should be helping them. We should be helping our brothers and sisters. And what astounds me is it's not even on our radar. I'm sure there's people, Boko Haram, who is that? Nigeria, what? You know, and ISIS, and they're just not aware, and that those people are actually killing Christians in large numbers, huge numbers, genocide of Christians in Iraq. I don't know how far they'll go with Boko Haram, but you can do something. There's something you can do. Buy a piece of jewelry. Donate to Reload Love. Tell your neighbors. Become aware. Watch the news. Pick up your phone and Google Boko Haram and become a prayer warrior, an intercessor. And, you know, lo and behold, God sends a playground to children impacted by Boko Haram. Who would ever think that that could happen?
Lenya, thank you for listening to the Lord. Thank for making our walk fun. Even though it's a challenge and highly emotional, and this is really serious, God just loves the little children.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.